This is Rocky Mountain Voices, powered by PodTech.
I had a conversation with a friend of mine in the industry. He told me, you know what, you can't make any money in the service industry. The phone rings, you take care of a job. When the client leaves the door, you're unemployed again. What we need to do is be in a product industry that we can sell and sell again and again. And I realized, you know, that's what I was looking at. These CDs were treating photography as a product. And that appealed to me, is the opportunity to take a picture once and sell it 1,000 times.
This is Brad from Rocky Mountain Voices. I'm here today with Mark Anderson at Rubber Ball Productions. Welcome to the podcast, Mark.
Thank you.
I am excited to spend some time with you. This is one of the coolest interview locations I've been in a long time. It's filled with lots of cool photographs and Macintosh gizmos and gadgets and all kinds of cool stuff. Tell us a little bit about Rubber Ball.
Well, we've been around almost 12 years, started in 95, and you know, we saw a trend in the industry, or we saw the beginning of what back then was called photo CDs. I actually saw them affecting some of my business. I was a freelance advertising photographer here in Utah, and started losing a little bit of work to what back then was called clip discs or stock art discs or photo CDs or whatever. And so it really just started by me kind of pulling the gloves off and saying, I can't beat them, join them. I'm going to make a CD of my own and sell it and get a little bit of that market back. And that was kind of how it began. 12 years later, it's a completely different industry now. We're no longer focused on CDs sold on an 800 number and shipped FedEx. It's very much now an internet-based company where people log on to a website and take care of their own purchasing and generally download a single image. Photographs become very much a commodity these days and can be sold, you know, by multiple outlets, almost like you would sell watches, you know, particularly in the RF or royalty-free industry.
So the business is primarily taking pictures, putting them on websites, yours or others, and then selling them.
You know, it starts that way with, we do, you know, research to figure out what we need to shoot. We do the production, the post-production in-house, handle all the metadata, keywording, and get it all packaged up and delivered to our distributors. But we also have our own website. We do some direct sales through rubberball.com. We always like to do more there because we're keeping all the money when we sell direct. As well as rubberball.com sells the content of other production companies.
Okay, so you roll up just like they roll you up.
Yeah, exactly.
What was it that actually put you into the business?
Well, two things happened. About the same time that I lost a year-long campaign doing a shoot for a local company because they told me they were going to use a CD instead, I had a conversation with a friend of mine in the industry who was also in the service industry on the design side. And he told me, you know what, you can't make any money in the service industry. He says, if the phone rings, you take care of a job. When the client leaves the door, you're unemployed again. And he said, what we need to do is be in a product industry. We need to create a product somehow and that we can sell and sell again and again. And so the light bulb went on a little bit, and I realized, you know, that's what I was looking at. These CDs were treating photography as a product, you know, as a commodity. And that appealed to me, is the opportunity to take a picture once and sell it 1,000 times, eventually. And so I wanted to give this a try, and I went to an associate of mine named Alan Bailey and asked him if he's interested in joining up with me and starting this little enterprise. We'd call it Rubber Ball. And don't ask me why it's called Rubber Ball. It's a long story. But the short answer is that you won't forget it. So hopefully won't forget it. You know, the rest is history. It's been a long and interesting, curvy road. We've, you know, it has gone far different places than we thought we were going to be. You know, the industry's changed a lot. Our distributors today are a completely different group of distributors than we had 8 years ago. The business has, you know, changed dramatically, and in so many ways, I can't really go into it. It changes every week, honestly. I even hear rumors now that, you know, someone's looking to do a leveraged buyout at Getty. All these rumors and things on the business side of the industry changing all the time.
So you still have, obviously, if you're a photographer by training and that's your skill and expertise. Yeah. So you still do shoots?
Photography and filmmaking / cinematographer. I actually studied a lot of photography in junior college, but finished up at Brigham Young University with a degree in film. And at one time had aspirations, and do still eventually, to do work in more narrative filmmaking. And we've kind of parlayed that into doing footage as well as stills. It's not nearly as much in terms of volume. We have, you know, close to 25,000 still images, but only a little over 1,000 film clips. There's a bright future there in footage.
So let's talk a little bit about that bright future, because, you know, 2006, many will claim as the year of video on the web. We obviously moved from taking expensive pictures to being able to do what you've done, which is to make an easy browse shop e-commerce right. experience to buy a picture for a website. What's going to happen with video?
Well, for a content producer like we are, video is kind of exciting because there's different things happening in the market right now. In stills, I believe that the worldwide appetite for stills is about capped out. It's not growing dramatically. The world needs X number of pictures every year, and that's staying pretty steady. But I think in footage, it's growing. And I think in some cases, we're going to see, you know, you walk through an airport terminal and the backlit display, you know, or photograph is, you know, eventually it's going to become an LCD screen. Billboards, we're starting to see those move. You go to get the gas pump, you see video images on the gas pump. The internet is huge, of course, and so a lot of moving images are popping up everywhere. And we're seeing that in our sales figures. We've seen a steady rise in the demand for footage. The other thing that's kind of exciting is in stills, there's a lot of amateurs producing content. You get your micro stock sites like iStock Photo and Shutterstock, and it seems like everybody and their uncle is out there with a Canon, you know, digital rebel camera shooting stills and making them available for sale. The production of high-quality commercial footage ups the ante quite a bit. The skill set to produce footage, the equipment, knowledge, cost, the talent requirements, everything, it kind of separates the men from the boys. Not everybody can go out there and shoot good footage. It's just more difficult process. So there's less competition in the content side of things in the production of footage.
I know when I watch YouTube and other videos up there, there's some photographers that are decent, but this user-generated content space that you're kind of alluding to here is you have various degrees. And like you said, you may find a photographer that has a couple of good pictures that you'd be willing to pay for a website or whatever. But I have not yet seen a lot of great commercial video footage things on YouTube yet.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's a lot of DV kind of home video type of stuff, and it's fun to watch and look at, but it's not necessarily marketable in the advertising or in the commercial space. Advertisers are going to want beautiful high-definition images available to them. That's, you can't do that with your handheld DV cam in the backyard.
Yeah, and that, I guess, is a certain skill set that you can bring to the table where you've spent a lot of time. You know the demands of the advertising industry and people, what they're looking for. I know I've done a little bit of video production. It frustrates me like crazy because I feel like the technology to actually create the videos, the computer rendering and everything else is such a slow process. Is there anything happening there that you think is going to change the industry a little bit?
Well, that's improving all the time. I mean, even starting out, even what we're doing today versus in 2000, we first started producing high quality content. We shot it on, you know, 35 millimeter film. Film had to be shipped to LA to be processed, brought back, went to a telecine, spent a day there telecining it, put on a digibeta tape, and then there was complicated kind of process to capture that image off that tape onto a RAID. And the production and post-production was tedious and expensive. Just to turn the camera on was $90 a minute. Today we're shooting on a high quality, you know, high def camera. That's, you know, shoots a 24p progressive image. It's writing this image to a, essentially what's a Blu-ray disc. And once you've shot it, the post-production is as simple as you can simply set the camera on your desk with a FireWire cable and capture it right into Final Cut Pro, and you're in. And running the camera is about 40 cents a minute. for power and Blu-ray discs. The costs have gone way down, and the post-production has streamlined greatly. Computers, of course, gotten faster. Software has gotten more sophisticated. And so, like anything else, it's getting easier all the time.
So those of us joining today, we're just spoiled brats. We really don't appreciate where we're at, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, especially those who are picking up photography today with their digital camera, who didn't processing film in a lab and working in dark rooms and all that kind of thing. So that being said, you know, even though the camera's more sophisticated, post-production is it's cheaper and post-production is more streamlined, the production side of thing is still challenging when you're out on the location trying to capture a great image. It still has to be well lit. Your talent has to be to perform well, has to look good, styling, sets, props, you know, camera movements. If you want, you know, the production value to look really beautiful, then the camera's got to move smoothly, which we're talking dollies and jibs and a lot of gear that 17-year-old skater kid doesn't have when he's out, you know, shooting his buddies in the park. So again, yeah, it ups the ante in the production of footage.
Let me ask you a different question, a little bit different direction. Rubber Ball, your brand and what you're trying to do, how do you differentiate yourself from other photographers? Is there something special that you guys have done? Is there a, you know, a business characteristic that you've tried to incorporate?
That's a good question. That's hard because so much stock imagery, and we're talking probably stills at this point, it looks alike and is very lifestyle based. And we've tried to do a little more utilitarian kind of imagery. We were kind of one of the leaders, almost pioneers of sort of this, you know, what we call silhouettes, or shooting people against a white, clipping them out with a clipping path, you know, full length, doing various kinds of scenes in the studio that way. We're always looking for other ways to create images that are very useful, utilitarian to designers, design friendly, as well as making sure that we shoot very conceptual images where there's an intelligent concept and a message behind the photograph and not just a pretty photograph. And it's challenging constantly coming up with hundreds of new ideas every month like that.
So how many pictures do you guys shoot a month?
We shoot thousands. We try to ingest between 600 and 1,000 still photos, primary still photos a month. For every primary still photo, there's usually one to two secondary or alternate photos. And so our collection, actually, we probably ingest closer to 2,000 images a month with primaries and alternates.
So it's quite a few.
700-800 images every month. It's a lot of work.
I guess at the end of the day, being in business this many years, you've obviously been able to sell enough photography that your name stands for something in and of itself.
We like to think so. Yeah, I mean, the point is to try and create a brand that people like, that people feel comfortable with, that they equate with high quality and something more special than just everyday imagery. I think our brand's pretty, you know, the Rubber Ball brand is pretty well received, and, you know, it's been around a long time, fairly well respected. We're actually one of the oldest RF brands there is, other than, say, Photodisc. And in fact, all the brands that are older than ours have all been bought by new companies like Getty and Corbis. So I think we might be the oldest independent company there is right now in the royalty-free. I can't confirm that, but there couldn't be many older.
Well, thanks for your time today. Enjoyed spending a little time learning a little bit more about Rubber Ball and the industry in large. I wish you luck as you continue to push lots of stills and move more footage.
Thank you.
This has been a Rocky Mountain Voices podcast. Visit us on the internet at www.rockymountainvoices.com.